Hello, guys, and welcome back to the follow-up episode of the Sweeper Podcast. Here with you today is Boss and Arvin.
Yes, guys. Well, Arvin, last episode we talked about the winners and losers of EPL who had the best windows. Now, in this episode, we'll be talking about teams outside the English League. We'll talk about Juventus, Bayern Munich, PSG, and more. So, the first team I would like to go with, a team that I personally find interesting, and I think you do too, and that is the champions of Serie A, Juventus. What is your say on them?
I think last season Juventus did not have a good season. You can call them on for winning the league, but they did not have a good season at all. Now that could be on the manager too, but I would also put it on the players. I believe that they did not have a great midfield. They had an all right defense. They had an amazing attack. But they did not have that balance. Every team needs to look for balance. And Juventus did not have that. But again, I got to mention this. I mentioned it in the last episode. They have done good this transfer window because of the stupidity of another club. My favorite, FC Barcelona. They gave away Arthur for 10 million and got back Pjanic. I mean, how stupid is that? I think Juventus has sorted out their midfield problem now. But not exactly now. I'm talking about going 1 or 2 years into the future.
Yeah.
And another reason why is because they got Pirlo. And I think Pirlo is going to do a great job. Pirlo is the perfect person for this role at this point. I mean, we have talked so much about how players and managers who are legends of the club are becoming manager always somehow spurs them on to do better.
Yeah.
I would say this has been a good, you can't call it bad. That's my standing on this. And you can't call it bad just because they ended up getting Arthur for 10 million.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not just Arthur that they bought. I think Arthur is definitely a steal. Swapping him with Miriam Pjanic, who is a player already at his twilight. But Arthur is a young player with a bright future. And he has been playing well at Barcelona for many years. And yeah, I think Everton really stole it with this transfer. But not only Juventus. Not only that, though. Not only did they just get Arthur, but they also got Alvaro Morata, who I think is an upgrade on Higuain. They got Weston McKennie from Schalke. They got back Luca Pellegrini. They got Dejan Kulusevski, who is a promising midfielder, 20-year-old. And also on deadline day, they signed Federico Chiesa. So I think Juventus will have a good season because they had a great window, I would say.
See, I got to go back to me saying that we expect all these major clubs to buy, especially in a time like pandemic when the smaller clubs have to break even and so will have to sell their players and at least keep a balanced cash flow. So it's not like I did not expect this. It was expectable at least. But that's why I'm saying that I have to also consider what move was so economic for them that it enabled them to make all the other moves. And that is why I said Arthur. If they ended up spending directly 80 million on Arthur, then it would have been, they wouldn't have been able to get all these players. And that's why I say that Arthur was the reason why Barcelona's stupidity is the reason why Juventus had a good transfer window. But I wouldn't put it great either, because I think they have an aging defense and in a season or two, but it's not a current issue. They might need to sort it out over a year or two. So,
yeah. I agree. Personally, I would give Everton like a 7 out of 10.
Juventus.
Why do I keep missing? Yes, Juventus. I would give Juventus a 7 out of 10 rating for this window.
I would also give like 7.5. I would give a 7.5.
Yeah. For me, I think their problem is the fullbacks. I don't think they have enough qualities in the fullback.
And I agree. Ever since Cancelo left,
Ever since Cancelo left. and Sandro has been doing. So they have to be playing Juan Cuadrado at fullback position, and I don't think it's gonna work out for the long term. So they did fix the midfield problems by getting McKennie and Arthur, but the fullback and the defense is still a problem, which they'll have to try and fix in the next windows or so. Do you agree?
I entirely agree. And in fact, it's a problem they have to fix in the upcoming winter break, because Juventus is a club looking to win the Champions League, just like most major clubs. And if they need to do that, they need quality in every position. How do we move on to the current champions of the Champions League, Bayern Munich?
Yeah.
What do you think about their transfer window, boss?
I mean, this is the thing, yeah. Bayern Munich has been the best team in the world for like the last 10, 11 months. So the question is, what can you do to improve the best team in the world? Like, who can you sign to make this team even better? And I think Bayern absolutely killed it by getting Leroy Sané, who is definitely an upgrade on Ivan Perisic or Kingsley Coman. We all know that Sané is a top quality winger, and getting him for 45 million is a reasonable deal, and he will definitely be a success at Bayern. Not only that, they also bought Alexander Nubel on a free from Schalke, who is most likely the successor of Manuel Neuer. They also bought back Douglas Costa on loan to provide more depth in the wing. They also bought Mark Roca, Bona Sar, and Eric Choupo-Moting, who is indeed a weird transfer, but yeah, he'll just add like a depth in the striker position. So I think overall, all in all, Bayern had a decent transfer window, but the best transfer for them is definitely Leroy Sané.
Yeah, but we are also forgetting something, boss.
Yeah.
Why I would say Bayern could have still yet done better, although it's asking a lot, to the best team in the world already, and how they can go better is something. But see, here's the thing. When you deal with the best team in the world, you got to judge them based on if they can make it a dynasty. If the Bayern Munich of 2019-20 to 2022-23 can become a dynasty. And here's why I think it's a little harder for them. Because they lost Coutinho, who was a creative midfielder, and they sold Thiago. I don't know if they addressed this issue as well as they could have. Imagine this. Coutinho, they didn't sell him, but I mean, they had the option to buy, and obviously it was not feasible to them. So that's why I don't think they did as great as they did. I think that they could have done better in that creative midfield position.
Yeah.
Since they lost Thiago, they lost Coutinho, and I've heard from many Bayern fans all over saying that they needed a creative midfielder and that they miss Coutinho and they miss Thiago. Who do you think Bayern should have signed? This is a different question. In my opinion, I would say Bayern should have signed James Rodriguez, and I'm using him for everywhere. But because he was available and he has played in Bayern and he is a creative midfielder, I think Bayern should have gone for James Rodriguez just because he was available.
Yeah, I mean, could have, but I'm not sure if Bayern will, like, you know, they don't crave that much, you know. I mean, they could still do well with Müller in that position for now, and then they can deal with this problem in the future.
Here's the deal. Müller is old, and why I brought up dynasty is because now if Müller gets injured, considering his age, considering everything, if Müller goes away, who's going to take up that creative responsibility? I mean, Leon Goretzka is great, but don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
He is not that creative midfielder who can give the final pass. Obviously, it's like saying if Messi gets injured for Barcelona, what will Barcelona do? It's going to be bad. But now
I get what you're trying to say. I think for the defensive part, they bought in Mark Roca, who is a top talent from Espanyol. I don't know if you've heard of him.
I've heard of him. But you're talking about defense. I entirely agree. But the defense was not a problem. In fact, the defense was the reason why they ended up winning the whole thing, in my opinion. They had the best and the most depth in the defense. They had center backs who can play fullbacks, and they had fullbacks who were great. So I don't know what to say, boss. That's the thing. I think they obviously, if you take it objectively, just like I said for Chelsea, that they had a good transfer window for bringing Sané and stuff. But that one player, their reliance on Müller concerns me right now. It concerns me.
Yeah, but I think Bayern will know how to deal with it. And I don't think that it's the biggest problem for them this season. I think they can still do well. And let's see in the next windows if Bayern will actually address this issue. All right, so before we move on to your favorite club, Barcelona, we'll just touch upon the champions of Ligue 1, which is PSG. So I'll just list a few transfers for you, so you know who all they signed. So they got Rafinha from Barcelona on a free transfer. They got Moise Keane.
Oh, no, no, it was not free. It was not free, okay? Barcelona got, like, some added benefits, like 45% of future transfers and, like, 3 million in variables. Don't say free.
Oh, okay. Then I'll just say they bought in Rafinha. They bought Moise Keane. They bought Alessandro Florenzi from Roma. They bought Danilo Pereira from FC Porto. And they made Sergio Rico and Mauro Icardi's loan deals permanent. All right, then. What do you think about these transfers?
Bayern's start to the season sums up what I think about it. I mean, PSG's start to the season concerns what I think about it, that they still could have done better. A club like PSG, they find it very hard to motivate themselves throughout every process that, and I mean, I'm sure that one of the good things is that they did not lose Mbappe this season, but Mbappe clearly wants to leave. They'll lose him next season. Mm-hmm. I just think that PSG as a club is just going to go down. Even if they have had the best transfer windows, their window for winning the Champions League is lost. So I don't really want to comment much on it. They did have an all right transfer window, getting in Florenzi, getting making Icardi's loan deal permanent. And they did not, I mean, looking at it again objectively, and getting Moise Keane, who can do brilliant. And I think he's a good player. Yeah, man, boss. I just think that it's just a sad situation for them. And I hope they don't lose Neymar. I hope Neymar stays in PSG, but I think even he's going to leave in very soon.
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, personally, I think they did decent for getting these players, but I don't know. I don't like the signing of Danilo Pereira. I think they have a lot of midfielders in Herrera, in Idrissa Gueye, in, you know, Leandro Paredes, Marco Verratti. I don't understand the signing. And to be fair, if I'm honest with you, yes, PSG did well in reaching the Champions League last year, but, you know, the Champions League last season wasn't normal. It was a different circumstance. And the PSG project never excites me, because you know that these players are just here for the money and they won't stay here to, you know, be a part of the club's dynasty for a long time. We all know that Mbappe is going to leave. Neymar will probably leave too. Icardi, you know, I was never intrigued by the PSG project. So, and even with these signings, I mean, they're not even starters except for maybe Icardi. The rest are just like adding to the depth of PSG, I think. Like Rafinha, why get him? I mean, PSG have Julian Draxler, Verratti, Angel Di Maria. So many players. Where's Rafinha going to even play? They still have, I don't know if you're going to believe it, they still have Kessie. You remember Kessie? Yeah. The Real Madrid, yes. Kessie. He's still there with the club, man. So what's the point of even signing Rafinha, Moise Keane? I personally think that they bought in quite established names in the world of football, but what's the point, you know what I mean? So personally, I'll just give PSG a 5 or 6. I'll give them a 5 out of 10 rating for this window. How much do you give?
I don't even want to rate PSG. It's just a sad situation, as I said. Yeah. But, well, I mean, one thing we got to notice, though, about PSG is that other teams in France are improving. Like, slowly they're improving. They're doing great. So, if PSG can retain the league this season, based on what they have, I think yes. So if I had to rate them, I would still give them, yeah, I actually like you 5 or 6. But if they ever wanted to be if they ever wanted to achieve what the owner wants them to, they had to have a 10 on 10. They had to have a 10 on 10 rating if they wanted to do what I just said, but they did not. And yeah, let's move on to my favorite club then.
Yeah.
My club.
Barcelona.
Let me preface everything I'm going to say by saying that don't take my word for it, because this is not the opinion of most Barcelona fans. I'm unique in this term, because what I'm about to say is just this. Even when we first, in our second ever episode, talked about Barcelona, I did say that I don't want Barcelona to sign anybody. But not only did Barcelona achieve that in a way, they ended up surprising me by signing Dest Boss. They did. I gotta say it. Like, he was not just not too costly. He sorts out an issue. I think he's a play like Trent Alexander-Arnold. But I think Barca sorted that out well, and Barcelona has sorted out at least a base to work on for at least the next 1 year or 2 years, and even after Messi leaves, for example. But I still place them as losers. Because they lost Arthur with the positional changes and everything, and they're going to lose Dembele.
Losing Luis Suarez.
No, Luis Suarez, yes, and they do not have a pure striker, which is going to be a huge problem. I'm already seeing that not having a pure striker is causing them problems. I mean, they keep trying to go for Depay and Lautaro Martinez. I mean, I gotta say this. This was the transfer window where, because they lost a player like Luis Suarez, they had to get someone, which is going against everything I said earlier, but they didn't. And so I have to give them a 3 or 4 on 10. But we gotta say, address this though, that when they sold these players like Rakitic, Vidal, and Suarez, they managed to get cap space. They managed to get that wages down. So that's something we have to look out for going ahead. That now they can actually sign one or two actually good players, or they can give better deals for the youth. And yeah, I mean, one thing, yeah, that's the main thing I had to address, that they could have still done more. They could have sold Umtiti. Araujo is playing really well, so they didn't need a signing. I think Barcelona can live with my 3 out of 10 rating. That's my only opinion on this, because they didn't. I always said last year too, the squad was good enough. It was just that they needed a certain motivation and a certain tactical approach, which they did not take.
Yeah.
I mean, we are talking about a team that actually has reached the semifinals 2 years in a row, which is a big deal in itself. And we are, can't say much, boss. That's all I got to say, that 3 on 10, but they can live with it.
Well, I kind of agree with you. Barcelona haven't had the best of windows, and that may be due to the board, due to the pandemic. We don't know. I mean, I personally don't know, because I don't follow Barcelona as much, but I'll have to say that a few signings look good to me. Sergino Dest is a good player. I've seen him play against Chelsea when he was with Ajax. He looks bright and can whip in good crosses.
He looks like Trent.
Yeah, and he's really young, so he could be a player for the future for Barcelona. And another mention is Trincao. I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of Barcelona fans are hyped about him.
Wait. As you said, if you're talking about all those signings we made before the transfer window too, then I give them an 8 on 10. I'm just talking about within the transfer window. If you're talking about Trincao, Pedri, those players, if you're talking about those players and the fact that Coutinho came back, then I give them an 8 on 10, boss. No. I'm talking about based on what happened within the transfer window of selling of Luis Suarez. And not getting a striker, that is a problem. But if you take all those into consideration, then obviously, That is what I meant by saying 3 on 10, but they can live with it. They can live with it because of the signings they made earlier.
Okay. I get what you mean now. I get what you mean. So you're just considering what happened during the window. But like these signings happened before the window even started, right?
They were deals for after. I mean, it was already expected that they were going to join. So I did not consider them. But if you're taking it, then yes, because as I said, it's something they have a squad to build on for the next 2 years. And that is because even if Messi leaves, they have quality players who can improve into a certain position. Mm-hmm. Ricky Puig hasn't left on loan, which is a good benefit. Araujo is just doing great. He's doing so good that he could even start. People are calling for him to start. So, all in all, yeah. I mean, as I said, they can live with it. We got to still see going into the season how they do. Dest is like Trent for me. He's like, whatever Trent is, that's what Dest is for me. Good crosses, going ahead. So, it's like before we always used to rely on using the left flank and Alba to give crosses and cutting in balls. But now we can do that with Dest.
Yeah.
If you put it that way, then yes. But if they got that striker, it would have ended up being taking all of it. If they got a striker, it would have been 10 on 10 based on what they had and what they had to have. They did well. I mean, if they signed Lautaro Martinez, wouldn't you agree they would have had the best transfer window too?
Yeah, up there. I mean, if they didn't do the Panage deal and bought in a striker, I would give them probably the best.
Oh, yeah.
The best. But because they did this stupid deal for, I don't know what, Arthur Panage, and they didn't get a striker. So, yeah, up there, if you consider these Trincao, Pedri, Dest, and getting back Coutinho, who looks much stronger, better, since coming back from Bayern Munich, I think Barca also had a great transfer window, despite a lot of difficult circumstances.
I have to agree with that. And these players, these young players coming in with good fervor, good passion,
potential.
Who wants to play, and Trincao and Pedri, especially since Berth was a Barca fan. Dest idolizes Messi, and the words he says makes me feel happy that we are still a club who is committed to winning over anything else, because we keep holding it against Barcelona that they only won the league, but only winning the league was what we used to do for, I don't know, now we are more than. This is a squad that if Xavi comes, he can work with. So,
Okay. So all in all, how much do you rate Barcelona's window?
Everything together, I would give them an 8 on 10 because we got to look into what the situation was.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Personally, I'll give them just a 7.5 in my views. Okay. Just before we end this episode, though, I would just like to touch upon Barca's rival a bit. So I don't think, if I'm right, I don't think Madrid actually bought in any new players, right? Except for getting Martin Odegaard back from on loan, right?
No, they did not make much signings, but I would still rate that. See, you can't rate that transfer window because they did not bring at least Madrid-level signings. I'm sure they did some signings for the youth team, which is huge. But look, they got players like Rodrigo, Vinicius, they got Luka Jovic still, they have Odegaard, but maybe one thing which could have supported them was one more centre-back. But I think you can't really judge them, even though they did not make any big name signings, they have enough quality to last for the next 4 or 5 years at least.
Yeah, but no, what I want to indicate is like the... Okay, we know that Madrid didn't actually make a big signing this season, which is not quite them, because Real Madrid has always been known to make big signings almost every window. But they have actually sold out or loaned out a lot of players, a lot of deadwoods, perhaps. Like they sold Reguilon, Hakimi, Oscar Rodriguez, or a lot of players. Gareth Bale is
not deadwood. They're not deadwood. They're good quality players.
But just not in the squad, I would say. I used the wrong term. But do you think that these outgoings of Real Madrid will indicate a big window for them next season? Because they're actually collecting the money now in this pandemic.
I don't think they need a big window. That's the thing. I don't think they need a big window just because they have the players they require. It might indicate that, it might not, but we also got to look at the financial situations improving all over. What are the players they could possibly go for? Maybe, and I'm just going to say this with a lot of question into it, they might end up getting Mbappe next year. They might end up getting Mbappe next year. But they kind of did get rid of a lot of quality, which could have helped them. Like, Reguilón, according to me, is their best right back if he stayed. And, And so, we gotta see going forward how it works. And I just gotta say this. Real Madrid, if they do get Mbappe next season, then we can look back into this transfer window and say, yes, they did a good job.
Yeah.
But even if they don't, this is Real Madrid. They didn't need to have a great transfer window because they already have the squad. They won the league last year. And those players are grown one year older. These players are growing 1 year older. So the young players will become 1 year better. The older players, maybe next season, they need to get one more center back. But yeah, we got to think about it that way. Real Madrid, I'd rate that transfer window maybe 2 or 3 or 4 out of 10, but that's only because we've been looking at it subjectively. When looking at every signing, the reason they didn't really need to have that great a transfer window. Getting Odegaard back was great. So yeah, 2, 3, or maybe even 4 out of 10. I'd give them a better transfer window than Manchester United.
And yeah, I would give that too, ironically, because even though they didn't sign up.
Man United did the worst in all the leagues. Worst in all the leagues.
Definitely. The losers of all. So, okay, to conclude our two episodes, we have come to a conclusion that Manchester United is the loser out of all top five leagues in the world. And Everton, Barca, and Chelsea, Tottenham, Villa, and Arsenal, if I'm not missing anyone now, had a fairly good window. So, yeah, that is it then for our winners and losers of this transfer window. And
if you like this episode, that will be the end of our episode. If you like this episode, please like, share, and subscribe.
Okay.